Well, our scripture lesson this morning, that our gospel lesson that Bobby just read, begins now about 8 days after these sayings. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, what sayings is Luke talking about here? See, Luke 9 is a busy chapter. It opens with Jesus giving the 12 disciples power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And then King Herod gets word of all that Jesus is doing and is perplexed, the Bible says. Perplexed by all of the rumors floating around that Jesus might be John the Baptist, who he had beheaded. Might be John the Baptist raised from the dead, or that he might be the prophet Elijah, or any one of the other ancient prophets making a reappearance. In this chapter, we see that Jesus feeds the 5,000 plus women and children. Perhaps 15,000 people in that great miracle. And in this chapter, Jesus asks that question of his disciples, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" To which Peter responds, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." Also here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection, telling his disciples, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day raised." And it's here in chapter 9 that Jesus talks about denying oneself and taking up one's cross and following him. Which brings us at this point in Luke chapter 9 to the gospel lesson this morning. All of what I just told you is the sayings to which Luke is referring when he says, "Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white." This is the transfiguration. Jesus becomes radiant in glory upon the mountaintop. Jesus reveals to the three disciples that were present with him there, gives them a look, at least partially, of his divinity. They got to see him in his glory so that they could get a greater understanding of exactly who he was. See, before this, they had only seen him in his human body. And so after telling them just 8 days ago now that he was going to die and be resurrected, he helped them comprehend what it was he had said by allowing them a glimpse of his godness, of his deity, of his divinity. And so Luke continues, "Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." See, Moses and Elijah here represent the law and the prophets. So here, in all their glory, they are representatives of the law which Jesus fulfilled in its entirety, and the prophets whose countless prophecies Jesus had fulfilled. And there they are meeting together with the author and finisher of the new covenant, the old way being set aside and the new way coming into place. And Luke goes on. He says, now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Now there's a spiritual lesson in that verse, I think. We have to stay awake in order to see the glory of Jesus. If we go to sleep at the switch, we miss the glory. His glory, and by default, our own opportunity to share in that glory. Seeing glory requires us to be attentive to Jesus. It requires that we resist the urge to be lulled to sleep by complacency, by the culture, by the world. We have to stay awake and stay focused on Jesus. And so Luke goes on. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And he didn't know what he was saying. See, Peter, Lord love him, in his enthusiasm, he usually engages his mouth before he engages his brain. This is such a great moment on the mountaintop, Jesus and Moses and Elijah, radiant in glory. It's a spiritual trifecta. It's an amazing moment. Peter wants the moment to never end. Let's stay a while, he says. Let's build three houses, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's dwell here on the mountaintop. This is awesome. I never want to leave, is what he's saying. See, but the conference on the mountaintop is not the main event. As much as Peter would like the experience to continue, there's still work to be done, and the work is not on the mountaintop, but rather down in the valley. So Luke goes on, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him, God says to the disciples. Of the three persons there on the mountain before the disciples, of the three people that are radiant in glory, God tells them, listen to Jesus. See, here is represented by Moses the law, and by Elijah the prophets, and by Jesus the new covenant, and God saying, of those three, listen to Jesus. Jesus supersedes and fulfills the other two. So from now on, listen to Jesus. Luke goes on. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. As much as the disciples would have liked to stay in the glory of the moment, the time on the mountaintop had come to an end. There was work to be done in the valley. And so as we see the last part of our lesson this morning, Jesus heals a boy with a demon. Luke says, on the next day when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He's my only child. And there was this music that came. No, that was something else. Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. They were astounded at the greatness of God, not on the mountaintop in all of his glory, but in the valley where the work was being done by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, Luke gives us an account of the work still to be done in the valley with this passage about the boy with a demon. And you have to know that there are many more demons in the world that need to be cast out. There is much sickness to be healed in the world. There is much work for disciples of Christ to be doing in the valley, not the 12 original disciples, not the 3 that were on the mountaintop, but all of these disciples here. See, we gather for a time on the mountaintop. And once again, this great music comes. We gather for a time on the mountaintop and we get our spiritual batteries charged by soaking up the power of the Spirit and basking for a time in the radiant life and light of Christ. But we can't stay on the mountaintop. We can't stay here in our sanctuary within the walls of the church building, because the church is not the building, it's the people. We have to bring our worship time together to a close according to the leading of the Spirit, and we have to go and do the work. Because if we stay on the mountaintop, who will do the work? If Jesus had stayed on the mountaintop, who would have gone to the cross? See, the transfiguration of Christ was powerful for those 3 disciples who witnessed it. And as we read about it, we can only imagine how powerful that was. It was a glimpse of the divine glory of Christ. But it was never meant to keep us on the mountain, but rather to energize us, to motivate us to walk into the valley charged with the radiance of Christ to do the work of spreading the good news of the glory and majesty and divinity of Jesus. And so today, this morning, we remember it just as Peter remembered it in his book, which he wrote some years later. He said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were on the mountain with him." So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. As you carry the glory and majesty of Christ out into the world and spread His message, remember, it's not your message. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So even though sometimes we stumble over the words, even though sometimes we might not even fully understand, because who really does, the mystery that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross, even though we don't fully understand it, we trust that the Spirit will get the message across. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.